Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and we have another two-hour session of Zero Point Radio. I invite the listeners to view my writing and work at www.zeropoint.ca, where I have a wide variety of my writings on mystical teachings and modern science, as well as some political, socio-political commentary. Well, today we're coming up to a big week around North America. We're coming up to the 7th anniversary of the 9/11 events, the attacks on New York City. And today our guests are going to be two individuals involved in planning the assembly in Ottawa on September 11th. And I'm going to bring them in a while. My interest and background is really in mystical and spiritual psychology. I've never been a political person through my life, although I followed the main media and kind of believed what I was hearing and seeing on the TV and in the newspapers. And then it was only 2 years ago, I was invited to New York City. I had no idea of 9/11 at the time. I was invited to New York City to be in a film coming out called Metaphysia, a New Age film on all the emerging new ideas and new science. And it was a peculiar trip to New York. It was quite irksome being stopped at the border, being brought in and fingerprinted, feeling as if I were a criminal, and then going out and realizing afterwards that they made me park my van right over this grating they have at the customs area. And I realized, oh, it would be so easy for them to take that grating off and do whatever they wanted to the bottom of your vehicle. So this whole encounter at the customs really put me off, and I didn't have any idea what was going on, but I know at the time it was quite irksome. Anyway, I went down to Manhattan, New York City, did the filming. My lady friend and I, we dropped by, we drove around the site of the towers, which are still under construction there, their new venture. And I drove back to Ottawa, and all had gone well. And then my 15-year-old son, I happened to see him within a couple of days, and he asked me if I had seen the movie Loose Change. I had no idea about it, and I said no, and he came over and stayed over one evening, and we watched this movie, Loose Change. And I watched that movie, and I was absolutely incredulous. I had no idea that there was this controversy about 9/11. No idea at all. I had simply from the beginning accepted everything we, the sheep people, had been told by our media, that it was Osama bin Laden and 18 Arab hijackers and the planes crashed into the building and made them fall down. I believed the whole story. And then I watched this movie, Loose Change, and I was absolutely astonished. But I knew immediately on seeing it that there was a cover-up, that we hadn't been told the truth. The evidence, even in that movie, it leaves many questions unresolved, but it clearly wasn't what we've been told. And over the last, it's now almost 2 years ago since that occurred. And that set off a very weird period in my life. I began searching on the internet, learning more and more about all what was going on in the society. And there's so much documentation on video Google and YouTube, and I just started learning all about the elites and their world plans and listening to Alex Jones, who I'd strongly recommend if people aren't familiar with Alex Jones at www.prisonplanet.com. I tried to listen to Alex Jones daily now when I can. Amazing guests, and he's kind of integrated and synthesized so much information to help wake us up as sheep people. Anyway, 2 years ago, then I had this kind of awakening, and in ways, it was a period of incredible anxiety, fearfulness, horror. I experienced horror at what was happening. partly in due to the fact that my son had enrolled in the Canadian military and might be stationed to Afghanistan. And I see, in a way for me, it was okay if he went to Afghanistan, you know, to fight the terrorists, and they were involved in 9/11. And I mean, that's one thing for him, a good-hearted young man, you know, to risk his life to defend his nation and to defend freedom. But when I realized the whole thing was concocted, it evoked in me a moral outrage at what's been done within our society, that our young men and women are sent off and sacrificed in this grand chessboard of Brzezinski and all these co-conspirators. Anyway, sent off a very unusual period of time and experiencing at times very mystical states. I was doing a lot of ritual at the time, burning cedar and sage and honoring the directions, and I felt elevated into higher dimensions. I felt illuminated by light. I felt at points I could cast my mind into anything and the truth of things would be revealed to me. It was a very, very intense period of both fear and anxiety, and then at other times, rapture. It's hard to explain that period of time. Anyway, 2 years ago, September 11th, I had written up an article which expressed my knowledge and understanding of the 9/11 events. And on September 11th, 2 years ago, my lady friend and I were the only two people on Parliament Hill in Ottawa protesting 9/11 and calling for an investigation of 9/11. And I'd written up this article, which I'm going to read in a minute. Not all of it, but some of it. And I was distributing this article on Parliament Hill. And we set up shop on Parliament Hill next to a lady from the Falun Gong spiritual cult in China, where apparently they're the members of this cult or group, religious spiritual group, are being persecuted, and their organs are being they're being murdered, and their organs taken for people who have enough money to pay for them. But anyway, we had this afternoon up on Parliament Hill with our little signs, and I was giving out this article. And this is the, I'd like to read this article. I only gave out about 20 copies of it on that day. I don't agree all exactly with what I wrote myself 2 years later, as I've learned more, but this is what I wrote. It is entitled, The Crime. You have been punked, had, conned. Trials and tribulations are upon us. A criminal cover-up has occurred of what actually happened on September 11th, 2001, 9/11. Fortunately, around the world, millions of people have now woken up and learnt these undeniable facts. The collapse of the World Trade Towers was a con, a put-on. You were had, in popular lingo. There were no Arab terrorists, and the burning airplanes did not cause the buildings to collapse. Instead, the buildings were intentionally demolished, using the airplanes as a distraction so that the public would not realize or understand how the buildings were actually blown up from inside. A huge volume of scientific evidence and eyewitness accounts substantiates these claims, largely available free through the internet at www.videogoogle.com. Search the truth of 9/11. The myth of Arab terrorists was spread through the media, through the cover-up by the intelligence communities, and through the government's own 9/11 Commission report, or Omission report. Most of the public is too weak in their bodies, minds, and hearts that they are incapable of grasping the true situation of what was done on September 11th, 2001, and further, what this means about the current crisis in the life of humanity on planet Earth. Humankind is now facing the catastrophes, pestilence, and upheavals, the trials and tribulations predicted in the sacred books of Christians, New Testament in Revelations, the Jews, the Old Testament in Ezekiel and Daniel, and Muslims in the Quran. End times are upon us in this year of the beast, 2006, and there will be great upheavals, destruction, destructions and pestilence over the next months and years as these savage characters stage further terrorist incidents within our society and try to take further steps towards establishing what they called the New World Order. As the truth of 9/11 emerges into human consciousness, new terrorist schemes will be hatched within these criminal networks to justify further security and police state tactics and mass entrapments and to further undermine the criminal justice system. The new millennium begins at 2012, but the times of the end are upon us. This is happening now, although the mass public is deluded as sheep, led to believe in Arab terrorism. Humankind now lives in a police state, and the neo-Nazis and Bilderberg group are unfolding horrific events to come with their biological, electronic, pharmaceutical, and nuclear weapons, secret police and security agencies, and their media control. The elected government is either deceived as sheep or controlled as goats by the underlying secret police and intelligence services. Horrifying events are now unfolding in the life of humankind. You must attempt to be upright of heart to maintain your inner sanity in times of such chaos and criminal activity within our society, even by those people you have trusted. Begin by learning the truth of 9/11 and spreading it to those who are ready to hear of such things. Copy and distribute this notice freely. The time is upon us. There is a hierarchy of secret police and international terrorists within our society, a corporate elite and Wall Street financiers who carry out acts of terrorism around the world to support the invasion of Arab lands, war industries, police and security services, the establishment of quasi-legal security police agency, and the sales of pharmaceuticals. These international terrorists own the world's major media, TV and radio stations, newspapers, and they stage terrorist acts while controlling what the public is led to believe through the media of lies. The gullible public are like little sheep being led to slaughter. This includes the CTV, the NBC, and the Citizens, Suns and Stars, and so on, all either owned by the Bilderbergs or controlled by the intelligence police networks. In fact, the two towers were detonated by the tenant, Mr. Silverstein, in association with the elite of the U.S. government and Bush family, the secret police, including top CIA, FBI, FEMA, and Homeland Security agents, directed and supported by an elite membership of Wall Street financiers and war merchants, all of the secretive Bilderberg group, which recently vacated in Kanata, Ontario. That was in 2006. But more frequently at places like the Bohemian Grove outside of San Francisco. Insiders intentionally demolished the buildings using explosives. The public was intentionally deceived, and all the evidences were hidden and destroyed by the police services as much as this was possible. In fact, the evidences of the cover-up and the falsification of the media are criminal evidence of these sinister plots and conspiracy webs of the beast of modern times. But unfortunately, just as there is no Santa Claus, get that right first, and then maybe you can come to realize that there were no real Arab terrorists hijacking airplanes. That was the con. It simply didn't happen that way, and it never could have happened that way for all eternity. No matter what you have been told or led to believe, or how stupid you have been like little sheep being led to slaughter. The truth of 9/11 is far more horrifying than what you have been led to believe. As it is, the destruction of the World Trade Towers poses huge enigmas and uncertainty. One way to understand these is through truth, the horrible truth of 9/11, the largest mass murder within Western society within the new millennium caught on film. The beast within Western society reared its head within the nations to stage scenes of mass murder and intentionally scapegoat Arabs and Muslims to justify crimes of mass murder, imperialism, and cruel steps towards an Orwellian police state and world domination. They even channeled their crimes into a Hollywood movie to maintain the public's state of confusion, misinformation, and delusion. One out of three Americans now knows that 9/11 was a huge public deception, a con intentionally perpetrated on humanity, not by imaginary Arabs or Muslims, but by those on the inside. It was an inside job. These facts can easily be documented and demonstrated conclusively within any impartial court of law anywhere in the world, if such still exists, before any sane, impartial judge, if such still exists. Unfortunately, the judicial system has been infiltrated or intimidated by these underlying criminal networks within American, Canadian, British, and Israeli society, as elsewhere. A huge volume of evidence is available at Video Google, and one can draw from thousands of eyewitnesses, scholars, scientists, and investigators to flesh out these evidences. Type in 9/11, Bilderbergs, Bush, and explore a wealth of educational films, evidences, and arguments, demonstrating absolutely conclusively, scientifically and or legally, that the collapse of the World Trade Towers was an inside job, a con, and almost all of humanity got fooled. You got had. Do not believe what the truth movement is saying, as you have been fooled by the con, like sheep to do, that is, to believe. It is of no use to you now to simply believe what is said here. Instead, you have to regain control of your natural intelligence and attention and make conscious effort to investigate and research and finally learn the truth of 9/11. You owe this to yourself, your children, and seven future generations of God's children. The lies of 9/11 must be exposed before it is too late for us as American, Canadian, or world citizens, as Muslims, Christians, and Jews, and for all the children yet to be poisoned by the deceits of the beast. Criminal elements within the United States, Canada, and elsewhere are the world's terrorists, not the Arabs, nor the American people, nor the vast majority in military service, nor ordinary people just doing their jobs, nor the Arabs, nor the Jews, nor Christians, but particular people within the U.S. administration, including Prescott Bush and his family, back to his grandfather Prescott, who helped to finance the Nazis, and all the president's cronies, the black operation intelligence groups, and a wealthy corporate elite and prominent Wall Street financiers. All of these groups are involved in the secretive Bilderbergs, who own the media, lots of oil, the weapons industry, drugs, sex slaves and gold, police and security organizations, and pharmaceutical companies, and who still want more human blood and subservience. Canada's own Prime Minister has now been entwined with the Bilderbergs and these sinister plots. The Canadian forces in the Near East have been completely deceived about the events of 9/11 and the true causes of the events now unfolding on the world stage. The Canadian forces are being used by pawns enrolled into a neo-Nazi schemes of these networks of criminal psychopaths. These perverse elements within decent society have schemed these horrendous crimes against humanity and fooled the little sheep who were told or led to believe that blah, 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 as sheep led to slaughter. The lies of the beast are now available at local theaters with popcorns and patriotic bravo and masked by a censored nightly news. In modern human society, humankind currently faces a situation similar to that of the reign of the Nazis through World War II, the totalitarian state characterized by George Orwell in his horrifying novel, 1984. To conquer Poland, the Nazis sent their own secret police to massacre German citizens in Poland and then control the media to justify invading Poland to protect the German people. This is exactly what has happened in contemporary society. Various supposed Arab terrorists are acts are carried out by these members of our own society and simply blamed on the Arabs to justify imperialism and movement towards what the Bushes call the New World Order, the actual term used by Hitler. The little pea-brained human beings forgot what happened on that traumatizing day of September 11, 2001, and failed to understand the hidden patterns of history and the perverse psychopathy of fascism. The truth of 9/11 is now known around the world, although most people don't understand the broader dynamics of what is involved and hidden behind those events. In August 2006, CBC Radio reported that the alternative film Loose Change had been downloaded 10 million times from Video Google. This movie is an accounting of the truths of 9/11. Although you personally may not have known the facts reported here, that 9/11 was an inside job, many millions of people around the world do, like it or not. Of course, the CBC radio show in earlier September on the topic was a totally superficial attempt to cover up the real issues. To be disillusioned of the con requires that you learn what a con is, how events can be staged, and how to deceive the human race while you control the media of deceit and commit mass murder. The conspirators who breathe together then frame someone else as a scapegoat to justify imperialism, war industries, worldwide terror, and steps towards a totalitarian society. But the con is now exposed, known worldwide. In the con, you simply say, "Hey, look, nice birdies in the sky," while using thermite bombs in the interior of the buildings to commit mass murder. The airplane simply did not cause the buildings to collapse. This is, was, and will forever have been a con, a Hollywood con. Distract the viewer's attention. It's as old a plot as we have stories. Afterwards, very soon afterwards, the terrorists have a scapegoat in a quest for blood and to make some more monies to line those nice pockets on those fancy pants. Crash two planes into two buildings, detonate the buildings from within without, fire a missile and report an imaginary plane hitting the Pentagon, seize any available videos, down a plane which has no bodies for forensic analysis and no one is allowed to see, have some telephones and methods of torture to use in an extra airplane hangar in Cleveland where Flight 17 landed and nobody noticed. Clean up the crime scene and ship the evidences to China or use for landfill to short-circuit criminal investigation. At least for a while, only a few noticed. However, over in time, more and more scientists, scholars, writers, researchers, and individuals learned the truth of 9/11. This is now a worldwide movement. Hey, a mass murder's been committed in New York, and no one investigated, and the authorities have only hidden the truth and deceived the public. Millions and millions of people around the world now realize the massive lies and cover-up of 9/11. The so-called conspiracy theories were really the evidences of international terrorism, conspiracy, and financing all along. They were never just theories. The crimes of the beast are the bloodstains through human history, including the assassination of President John Kennedy, beloved President of the United States of America, Martin Luther King, John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and many, many unknowns. The beast plays the human race like puppets, sowing discord and confusion, creating religious and cultural animosities, and considers itself a master race. 9/11 was an inside job. To believe otherwise, that the planes crash the towers, causing them to fall at near free fall speed in under 15 seconds each, to collapse perfectly into their own footprint, is to accept the possibility that on that day, September 11th, all the known laws of physics, chemistry, civil engineering, and material science were temporarily suspended. Further, it requires that you arbitrarily dismiss the testimony of 1,000 firefighters, civilians and the media's own initial news reports, as released before the cover-up began, all which document massive interior explosions in the sub-basements and throughout the two towers. These are visible clearly on many of the video records of these events to any trained eye or ear. How asleep is humankind? How blind, how deaf, how stupid. No building in the world of the, in the history of the world, past, present, or future, will ever, ever, ever collapse in such a way as did the perfectly controlled demolition of 9/11, except by being a perfectly controlled demolition. If it quacks like a duck, waddles like a duck, and looks like a duck, and even leaves a smell like duck shit, then it probably is a duck and its doings. These claims could be easily proven within any impartial court of law in the world before even half-sane judges. Unfortunately, the beast has rendered the judicial system, like the democratic political system, impotent. Millions now live in fear, unable to speak. Further, okay, I'm going to skip along a little bit. Yes. The ray of light is the truth. The human race actually now has overwhelming, convincing criminal evidence to bring these individuals into any criminal court throughout the world. Unfortunately, due to the complexities and confusion within the evidence and the lack of human memory or informed media, the enormity of the underlying schemes is beyond the grasp or understanding of most common folk who cannot imagine such horrors. However, if the keys to these mysteries are provided, it all fits together as a whole of undeniable truth. 9/11 was a con, the criminal acts were covered up, and the lies and public deceptions were perpetrated largely unknowingly through the media owned by the Bilderbergs, their common associates and pawns. All these types complicit in these unspeakable crimes and public deception need to be put in their place to reestablish democracy, freedom, and love, and higher ideals within the nations of the world. The seizure of the estates of those involved in these international conspiracies and terrorist activities would immediately pay off the debts of the nations and serve to reestablish justice and truth within the world. So many are pawns and puppets within the ranks of the beast and are manipulated in ways unspeakable. Every single aspect of the official 9/11 Commission report has been discredited over time as the sick tapestry of the events has been woven together by those wanting to learn the truth of 9/11. All the glaring inadequacies of the official report itself are simply further proof of the criminal cover-up and mass-level duplicities intentionally designed to conceal rather than reveal the truth of 9/11. Skip along a little bit more. I don't want to go on too long. The truth about 9/11 is now known all around the world, although not reported on the NBC, Fox, Global, CTV, the CBC, In the Stars, the Suns, the Citizens, any media owned by these crooks, deceivers, all the goats up to the most delusional psychopathic murderers. Disinformation and confusion is concocted instead. However, this knowledge is available free through the internet worldwide. Wake up. The issue of 9/11 is the most serious problem facing humanity today on this planet. The entire assets of this sad cast of characters should be immediately seized within the national borders of Canada, as they should be throughout the entire world, as financing and orchestrating international terrorist activities. That is what has happened in this grand script. They have brought down about their own demise, shot themselves in the foot, providing us with the criminal evidences to convict them all around the world, and all the necessary legislation now to be used against themselves. The citizens and nations of the world should publicly own all the ill-gotten gains of these scoundrels. This vast, vast wealth can simply be used to pay off the vast, vast debts of nations. Indeed, the debts of the nations are primarily their debts to the Bilderberg clans themselves. This wealth of nations can be used to repair the damages done, beginning within the Holy Lands and Lebanon, and to bring about justice, education, healthcare, and healing throughout this holy planet Earth, whose beauties sustain our inner life. We must heal this planet and the hearts of and souls of humankind, all beginning with the truth of 9/11, and then to recover from the traumas and nightmares concocted for the human race. The Bilderberg group who last vacationed in Canada would enjoy a holiday in Cuba to reflect upon their horrendous crimes against humanity, if Mr. Castro doesn't mind. They can enjoy the Bay of Pig life together, watch their own favorite movies and media clips, eat popcorn, and have their own pharmaceuticals and inoculations, implants, whatever they want, even the bird flu, along with their fool's Oscar gold. You as an individual, upon reading this letter, are subject to American, Canadian, British, and international laws which forbid the participation in, the support of, and the financing of international terrorist activities. You must stand down from any and all activities as you might otherwise perpetrate in the service of the beast. The media of lies can again serve the ideals of a free society in a sane and democratic world and simply turn about to become a media of truth, beginning with the truths of 9/11. The media staff themselves will be free of the tyrants within their own ranks and step up to their roles as true citizens, serving an informed public in a society which forbids mass murder, hate propaganda, and public deception. Within the armies and intelligence services, those who remain upright of heart, still believing in the ideals of America, Canada, and the international community, must stand up to the plate, armed with the truth in whatever capacity you are able, to safely bring about the transformation required within our society. These webs of deceit are becoming progressively and more widely known within modern society. The 9/11 truth movement is now worldwide, no matter what you have been led like sheep to slaughter to believe. You reading this letter are reminded of the Nuremberg judgments concerning duplicities in crime. If you are in the media, police, military, intelligence community, judiciary or government, or any other sector of our society involved in these criminal conspiracies, know now you are bound by the Nuremberg decisions and can no longer simply do your job as you are told. If you should have reasonably known that your actions are similarly complicit in such terrorist activities, cover-up, and conspiracies. No more excuses. No more lies. The gig is up. The con is over. The beast had its day and its dinner and then sealed its own fate. These unspeakable crimes will bring about its own demise, although progressively in seven stages as the truth is revealed. So that was a letter 2 years ago. My partner and I, we were alone up Parliament Hill in Ottawa. I was distributing that. And then now, 2 years later, this year, it's 7 years after September 11th, there is a major, major Ottawa 9/11 truth events to occur this week. We've come a long way from two individuals standing out there alone, and this week there'll be hundreds or hopefully thousands. There should be tens of thousands of people out on Parliament Hill demanding justice from the government and these criminals who have deceived us. Anyway, my guest today, Matthew, is someone involved in helping to host and put on these events, and I'm going to call Matthew in a minute. In the background, I have Jim Moffat from Toronto, the co-host. Jim, I've never that was what I wrote 2 years ago was giving out on Parliament Hill. Pretty wild, eh?
Yeah, you're still here.
I'm still here. Yeah, no, I go through paranoia at different times, you know, I go through such fear that these people will murder me or suicide me or something. You know, been through a lot. I'm surprised I'm alive 2 years after. Very unusual things happen in that time period. I guess they can't yet make their move a little bit. That's how I see it.
I don't think you're that important. I mean, you know, I mean...
No, I agree.
In the sense that, you know, like David Ray Griffin addressed that question, you know, this is a guy who's published several books and is known internationally for his critique of the official story. And in a way, it's like, that's where I differ in terms of the level of paranoia that people have about how things are done. I mean, there's all sorts of nefarious deeds committed by people behind the scenes, and people are suicided and are killed. I mean, that this has happened in the past, but I think it's a lot more subtle than that, and I think there's a lot. It's like, you know, it's astounding, actually, when you look at the numbers of people who don't agree with the official story. Like in New York City, you know, in David Ray Griffin's book on the 9/11 Commission, Omissions and Distortions, he cites the statistics at the beginning I think 3 or 4 years after 9/11, like 2005 or late 2004, more than 50% of New Yorkers didn't believe the official story.
Yeah, I've heard estimates of 70%.
And in Canada, he cites the statistics in Canada and Europe. I mean, it's even higher in Europe. But then you go on to, like I said last 2 weeks ago when you were at the Canadian Action Party convention and I did the program and had Mark on, I mentioned two websites that David Ray Griffin had mentioned in his lecture in Ottawa, pilotsfor911truth.org and patriotsquestion911.com. You go on those websites and see the people, the lineup of people who don't believe the official story. It's astonishing. I mean, I was quite shocked, actually, especially the patriotsquestion911.com, and yet, you know, there's no mention of it in the mainstream media. Everybody buys into the lies and repeats things over and over again and doesn't really question the whole basic premise. 2 years ago, on the eve of 9/11, I wrote something that I sent an email out to people. Could I just read it? It's not terribly long.
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Dear friends, as we remember the tragic events of 9/11 and the terrible tragedy of so many innocent lives lost in those horrific acts of depravity, I offer the following information for your consideration. According to John Perkins, author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, 24,000 people starve to death each day on this beautiful planet of ours. That is roughly 6 9/11s occurring each and every day worldwide.
Wow.
Thus, when we mark the 5th anniversary of the tragedies in New York and Washington, 44 million people, most of them children, will have starved to death during the 5 years that have elapsed since that terrible day.
Wow.
That means that in 5 years... that Western democracies have been demonstrating the superiority of democracies, as in quotations, have been demonstrating the superiority of our civilized way of life by attacking phantom enemies in bogus wars. We have stood idly by as almost 11,000 9/11s have occurred. Of course, we all know that, quote, the poor will always be with us, unquote, and the starving, well, they're with us, but not for long. Nevertheless, it is obvious that if we had the resources to alter these grisly statistics, we would no doubt address this criminal affront to human dignity and self-respect. But then, of course, there are always troublemakers like John Robbins, author of Diet for a New America and the Food Revolution, who writes, quote, in 1998, the United Nations Developmental Program estimated that it would cost an additional $9 billion above current expenditures to provide clean water and sanitation for everyone on Earth. It would cost an additional $12 billion, they said, to cover reproductive health services for all women worldwide. Another $13 billion would be enough not only to give each person on Earth enough food to eat, but also basic health care. An additional $6 billion could provide basic education for all. Combined, they add up to $40 billion. In other words, we in the developed world possess the resources to address this devastating problem and to make a difference in millions of innocent victims' lives. If we could somehow have prevented 9/11 from happening, wouldn't we have done so? Well, every day there are 6 9/11s going on worldwide, and we can put an end to it. But no one utters a peep about this type of terrorist activity. Why doesn't someone declare war on this abomination? Stop eating the slop that these professional liars who run for office are feeding you. We can put an end to this if we mobilize the will to do so. My intention in drawing attention to these facts is in no way meant to deny or diminish the reality of the suffering inflicted on the victims of 9/11 or their families or the American people. George Bush, Dick Cheney, and their band of merry criminals in Washington handled that department very nicely, thank you. The report of the 9/11 Commission, this is in brackets, ranks with the Protocols of the Elders of Zion and the Warren Commission as one of the most pathetic and devious politically motivated lies ever penned, close brackets. No, I am only trying to put the issue of suffering and terror in a more comprehensive and meaningful perspective. So tomorrow, when your heart goes out to the victims of 9/11, think of the other 24,000 who will die on that day because they don't have enough to eat. Oh, yeah, and start the day with a good breakfast. It's the most important meal of the day, and have yourself a real nice day. And actually, somebody wrote to me and said that that figure that in the 5 years that 44 million is probably about 10 million short. It's probably more like 54 million. So add another 2 years. So we're up to somewhere around 65 to 75 million people have starved to death since 9/11. And the war in Iraq is, I think, is projected to cost by the end of the decade something like $3 trillion. And the figure to feed everybody on the planet and provide all the services that was quoted was $40
billion. Wow.
Yeah. So
unbelievable.
Yeah. So, unbelievable. I mean, whenever anybody says, oh, we, you know, this is always the thing that kills me about the right wing in every country, is that to say, well, you can't just fix a problem by throwing up money at it, you know, in terms of dealing with poverty. But that's exactly what they want you to believe has to be done to defend us, to protect us, to secure us. Oh, we have to spend all this money on the military, because if we don't, we'll have a big problem, you know. But, I mean, it's so illogical. I mean, don't you think you could spread a lot of goodwill if everybody on the planet was fed and everybody had water and everybody, you know, had the basics of necessities of life rather than living in this incredible squalor and starving to death? I mean, it's just so illogical on so many different levels and such a crime, you know. But, as I say, nobody ever brings this up. 24,000 people are going to starve to death today.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, that's my little say so. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a different sort of perspective on things. But I mean, I endorse what you said about the cover up and the lies and the deceit. I mean, it just shows that what as Gurdjieff says, that the three brain beings of the planet Earth have a propensity to always perceive reality topsy-turvy, to see things upside down. I mean, you can see that, eh? Like on how completely screwed up we are. But
yeah, it's like a mass delusional system has been intentionally perpetrated on Western society and around the world.
The Fulan Gong lady to sort of, China's record is pretty abysmal in terms of...
we'll move on, I'm not going to be alone on Parliament Hill this Thursday, and here is a fellow, I'll let Matthew introduce himself a little bit and tell how, maybe Matthew can tell us a little bit of how he became involved in this, and then we have some time to hear what activities are coming up through this week. Matthew, thanks for joining us today.
For me, I was very similar, I guess, to your story. I watched Loose Change in 2005, and what an eye-opener that was. I had no idea about the statistics and the fact that, you know, the official story was they had no forewarning, and yet they were running all the war games that day, for example. So that was quite devastating to me. On the other hand, I still had faith, I guess, in Wolf Blitzer and CNN and the lies I was fed on TV.
Yeah.
So I really didn't take any action for about a year. And during that time, more and more documentaries were coming out on the net. Until, I guess, about mid-2006. Actually, no, now we're going into the spring of 2007. And I thought, okay, enough is enough. The corporate media is still not talking about this. Something is permanently wrong with this system. So at that point, it just, you know, it was very clear to me that the television, the corporate media is a part of the problem. So that's when I canceled my cable and I began searching. The one big site is truthaction.org, And from there, I searched for Ottawa, and I thought, maybe there's people like me. And sure enough, I found pictures of our one of our biggest local truthers, Mark. And I thought, man, if he can go, you know, once a month and take a stand, then at least I can join him. And I think the first meeting for me was March 2007. And since then, it's been growing, not exponentially, which it should be, but it's been growing geometrically, the truth movement and people taking a stand and by getting active. So
March of last year was the first time you went out and joined Mark and the 9/11 group in Ottawa?
The 11th of the month campaign, that's correct.
Yeah, we are having Mark on today. He'll be joining us in a while.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You had no idea, and then you were saying until about 3 years ago, and then you saw loose change. Well,
change was the eye-opener, and then, of course, these other fantastic documentaries came out, like Terror Storm is a fantastic summary of sort of the history of false flag terrorism. And then Zeitgeist is another classic, excellent documentary, and every single claim is footnoted, and there's a rigorous methodology in ensuring the veracity of their claims. So, you know, I'm convinced now that there is something wrong to the core of our fourth estate, and that's really what the truth movement is. We're being the fourth estate. We're being the media. We're doing the job what they're supposed to be doing. So we're up to about 40 or 50 local truthers now in Ottawa that come out on and off on the 11th of every month. And in March of this year, Mark had sent me, you know, a request from the Vancouver and Montreal truth groups that they would like to do a march on Ottawa.
Wow.
And over the last 6 months, just to see that germ, that idea grow among the truth groups across Canada, it's growing beautifully. It's very exciting. And so now we have a convergence of all of these truth groups from all these cities across Canada. From September 11th, until September 15th, we'll be doing multiple outreaches on Parliament Hill across the city of Ottawa, and it's really exciting to be a part of this.
Yeah, really. We need the numbers. We need the masses to wake up.
Right.
To realize what's been done to us, like, and what's being fashioned for us now, because it's not that these problems are going away. These elites are advancing their agenda.
That's right, and the internet is the game changer. There's hope until they shut down the internet, but that has really changed the dynamic, I believe.
Yeah. So now, okay, so we have these groups converging. Are the Vancouver and Calgary groups on their way to Ottawa now, or?
They're actually headed to Montreal. A few of the people on the buses have stopped off in Toronto, and then we'll be liaising with them. So we'll have the marchers coming from Montreal arriving on the 10th.
They're actually walking from Montreal to Ottawa?
Yes, that is correct.
About 100 miles, is it, at least? About?
Yeah. I'm sorry, say that again?
Is that about 100 miles?
That's right, about 100 miles, 150 kilometers, you got it.
And they're marching up to Ottawa.
That's right, and there's
wow.
Three nights. They're handing out information along the way and performing music along the way and getting petition signatures along the way, which anyone on planet Earth can voice their solidarity with our petition demanding an independent investigation. It's at marchonottawa2008.org.
Okay, marchonottawa2008.org. Okay, good.
So
then they arrive in Ottawa, and then they're going to be out at the Kanata campgrounds.
That's correct.
Before.
That's correct. At OttawaMunicipalCampground.ca, there's the map. If you wish to join truthers from across Canada and the United States, we'd be happy to meet you and truth action with us over those 4 days, and that's where we'll be staying for that period.
And then on the 11th, you begin with a march. I guess you're gathering down by the War Museum?
That's correct. In fact, we got really good advice from the head sergeant responsible for oversight of all the special events throughout the city.
Yeah.
We'd originally planned to go through the retail district, and you know, he said to us, look, there's a lot of construction. Why don't you start right on Wellington, which is Wellington Street is the main street where all the Supreme Court is, where the legislative and executive branch is, i.e. our Parliament Hill, where the Bank of Canada is. He says, we'll shut down all traffic going eastbound. It'll be fantastic optics. You can pass the Supreme Court. We're going to set up, we're going to plant a little truth tree, which is basically little messages. Apparently Sufis do this, their tradition, where people write little messages and they attach them to this tree and the spirits. I'm not familiar with the full Sufi tradition behind it, but we're going to plant that message on the Supreme Court. This is during the parade, starting at 11 o'clock in the morning of September 11th. And then as we progress down the main Parliament Street, we'll arrive at Parliament Hill at around noon. There'll be speeches.
You'll be, just to interrupt for a moment, you'll be passing by the giant spider downtown at the Arts, in front of the National Art Gallery, will you?
Well, actually, that'll be the, for Friday. That's east of Parliament Hill. We're coming from the west. So we have a day of activity and truth planting, truth tree planting, from the east to Parliament Hill, and then we're going to do another action on the coming on the east side of the hill. So the first day will be an action on the west side, and then on the 12th and 13th we'll be more on the east side near the National Gallery. We'll be doing a snake walk to the American Embassy on Friday the 14th, a two-hour ceremony where we begin at Parliament Hill and snake with truthers hand in hand to the U.S. Embassy, and that's from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock on Friday the 14th. We'll deliver them a message, and with the voice of all of the petitions that we have with us, and then we'll return to Parliament, and there'll be more music. We have two fantastic groups. One is Conspirituality at conspirituality.com.
Wow.
There's some Vancouver spoken poem, hip-hoppers, soul, whatever you want to label them. And we also have another fantastic band playing on Thursday, the 11th, from 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Parliament Hill. They're Kinexa Cross, K-I-N-N-E-X-X-A, cross.com. And their story is really intriguing. They're actually, the leader is served 23 years in our military, and she too has questions about the war on terror. So this movement is from all sorts of people. I mean, it's some of the best feedback we've gotten have actually been from law enforcement, from the police that had suggested for the route for the parade, for the RCMP on the Hill, when they tell us that they've actually watched these documentaries with their supervisors. I mean, they're in the
crime. Mark had mentioned that. He was discussing they were giving them out on Parliament Hill. And
that's right.
Last time I was up there, I gave one to an officer, RCMP, in his vehicle. And I gave him an extra. I said, here, for a buddy. Like, you must wonder, like, why don't the police see this? Why don't they, like, masses of our military and police men and women, I believe, are honorable men and women,
right,
who have oaths of office and maybe of different faiths and are in well intentioned. Why can't those people within our services do something like that? We need the police's help. We need them to actually enforce the laws.
Right.
Why don't they?
I think it's the whole global culture phenomenon of feeling powerless, the tendency to feel powerless from compartmentalization. That I think is a huge aspect.
Yeah.
That probably that's the role for the media. You know, everyone's waiting for someone else to take charge.
Yeah.
And so this movement is composed of people that are realizing that we can take charge by being the media, by getting out there on the 11th of every month and handing out media, documenting it by video and putting it on the internet, and that's what really we have become. All of the We Are Change chapters is 40 plus around the world, one including changeottawa.org, that's, you know, what we're interlinked with, and then all of the truth chapters from across the planet, and we're ottawa911truth.org. So you have all of this new hybrid activist model that's growing, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And you know, pass the floor back to you.
Oh, I was just going to interject here, if I could, something about, in response to your question, Chris, about the police. I think that's interesting is that First of all, in terms of 9/11, it's a jurisdictional thing. I mean, the crime occurred in New York and in Washington, and the local police are charged with that, with the responsibility of you know, dealing with a crime scene, which is hilarious in the sense that it never really was dealt with as a crime scene. That's why all that debris was carted away and not subjected to forensic analysis. But I think Dr. Griffin really addressed this question on a variety of levels when he said that, you know, there are many, many police officers and firefighters whose testimony supports the idea that there were explosions in the Twin Towers and that these were heard and that, you know, that the there's no doubt that, that this happened on the lower floors and that there were multiple explosions witnessed by all sorts of firefighters and police people. But, you know, there's such intense pressure on people if they speak out. They'll lose their jobs, that's the first thing. And they'll be subjected to all sorts of harassment and perhaps worse, threats to their families, threats to their physical well-being. So, I mean, it's well known within even the fire department's journal. There's in I forget exactly what the title of it, but there's an analysis of the fires. I mean, fire departments know that this is bullshit. I mean, they know. It's been published. It's been written. It's been discussed. They know that the official story doesn't hold up because these guys fight fires for a living. They understand that phenomena. But it goes so much farther in terms of, like, in New York, and my understanding in New York, the police department and the fire department, this is from the top down, that there's such intense political pressure on people not to say anything. That's one of the main reasons why nothing has been done.
Right. Yeah, it's not only jurisdictional, though. I mean, the police in Canada, like all these newspapers and mass media, are all participating. They're all accessories after the fact to mass murder, including 20 Canadians. Over 20 Canadians were murdered. And these media all are consciously, intentionally deceiving the public as to all of these events.
Yeah, but
is criminal.
The George Bush Senior coined it, right, that they each individually have plausible deniability.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not plausible anymore. It's plausible?
An individual.
It's not plausible to be.
Not that their understanding of the official story being wrong is implausible, but the fact that they could not affect change as individuals, and that they will be shut down if they speak up. And that's why sites like PatriotsQuestion911.com are so important, because you see this solidarity building across all lines, military, intelligence officers, politicians, activists.
I had a very interesting experience last year. We had the three bandidos come to Ottawa, Harper, Calderon, and Bush. People call them the three amigos. I don't like that because that's what amigos means, friends. I call them the three bandidos, okay? And they were meeting.
I have to make some changes to our main. It's funny because, a sidebar, we distribute Ameros the 11th of every month, which is a fictitious currency for North American Union. And on the backside is the three amigos, and I think that's a great point. And from now on, I shall be calling them the three bandidos.
Great. Okay, I first attended the rally on Parliament Hill. And and during that afternoon, there was, it was the next morning, there was a press conference, which I attended in one of the local hotels, and Connie Fogel was there, the head of the Canadian Action Party, which is the only political party in Canada which is not a New World Order party. It's the only party that wants investigation of 9/11. She was there, and Corsi was there, and they had a press conference going on. And there were hardly any media there. CTV was there and a couple other places. And at one point, I had to go out to get more film. So I went out and I came back in, and the news conference was still going on. And I came out of the elevator, and there was the CTV camera crew leaving. And I said, the three of them, they were leaving, and it was still going on. And I said to them, "You people must be so ashamed of what you do." And you know what they said to me? "We are."
That's it.
"We are." They should be.
That's right. Listen, you'll have to really forgive me. At some point in the next 5 to 20 minutes, I may have to leave abruptly. I apologize.
Not okay.
I would like to put one other site out. You can get, there'll be more updates to it over the next week as it progresses. But there's a full schedule of events at the Canadian Action Party website. If you go to CanadianActionParty.ca and click on upcoming events, and you'll find it right there.
Yeah, yeah, good. Before we lose you, firstly, were there any more details of those events, or just you want people can come out on the 11th then?
On the 11th would be fantastic. It would be a day of music, a day of celebration, the fact that we're making all of these dramatic inroads in Canada with the truth movement is. It's growing organically and quite rapidly.
Yeah.
So it'll be a day of celebration on the 11th, and then there'll be an outreach and more music throughout the weekend, the 12th, the 13th, and the 14th.
Wow.
We'll be in the market right next to the American Embassy for 2 days on Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And again, it'll be the same idea. We'll have a large book fair throughout, so if you'd like more materials, come
excellent.
And investigate yourself.
Yeah.
As well as the Friday afternoon snake walk to the American Embassy, which should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure
and on November 5th, we should all gather on Parliament Hill.
Absolutely.
Isn't that Guy Fawkes Day?
We'll
have a V sign.
Well, I leave you with an idea for discussion, if I have to leave. I think, and this isn't going away, the March in 2008 submitted a petition to Parliament, read in Parliament on June 10th, demanding a Canadian investigation. Now, as it happened, they had 45 days to respond. They never responded. It was supposed to be a response from Stockwell Day, our public security minister, and instead they passed it to the Foreign Affairs Minister, David Emerson. They were supposed to table the petition for debate on September 15th when Parliament reconvenes, because on the 11th, unfortunately, we'll be an empty house. And we haven't heard the news today or tomorrow if an election is going to be called, but there's a 99% chance that an election will be called before the 11th, in which case they won't be debating our petition, and it will be have to be tabled again in 2009. Now, the great news is that all of our petitions are still valid, and this isn't going away. There's going to be a march in 2009, march in 2010, for perpetuity until there's justice.
Yeah.
So that's really, really positive thing about this movement.
Can I just ask, Matthew, do you know, are there other international events occurring in other nations, I should say, that on September 11th, are there marches in Washington or New York?
New York.
That's right, in New York City at wearechange.org is the main headquarters for that. For details, if you go to wearechange.org. There's also unitedfortruth.org, which is the European arm. They will be convening in and around Brussels, where the European Parliament is, so that's a huge initiative in the European front. So, yeah, it's coming, it's growing, it's accelerating. So.
Yeah. Wow, just imagine what justice would really mean. It's just to really imagine for these people to be exposed for their crimes.
That's
imagine
right.
Imagine that.
Well, now we're in a scary phase. Now we have to learn, and this is what I wanted to leave with you, food for thought, is how do we mobilize politically now? Because I know there's one philosophy about that the truth movement and truth chapters and change chapters, we are change chapters, are NGOs. And we are reticent to align ourselves politically. But I think the philosophy should be that we should align with any party that speaks the truth.
Exactly.
And
or
right
any
now,
candidate from any party.
That's correct.
Before.
And right
I
now,
agree.
The Canadian Action Party.ca is the sole Canadian party that is the truth party.
Yeah.
So we have to find ways of aligning these NGOs with political power. And so that will be the next chapter. That's the prerequisite, I think, for us to get justice.
And also, while we have to mention, it's likely we're going to have a Canadian election October 14th.
Correct.
The timing is very, very poor for the Canadian Action Party, but they do have almost 300 candidates who are going to be running across this nation. We urge people in any part of Canada who cares for these issues of justice and freedom and our futures to get out and support your Canadian Action Party. And if you don't have a candidate in your area, someone stand forth and try to rally. We need to put on a huge effort at this point. And also, I encourage people, get the people truthers in different cities. need to get out and publicly confront some of these politicians when they go about telling their lies and avoiding all the issues facing
us. Exactly.
We need to expose these people publicly. Ask them. We should go out. Truth is, go out and videotape all the candidates in your district who won't even bother showing their face before your camera.
That's right. A cheap cellular and an internet connection gives you and almost the same power if it goes viral as a nightly news report.
Yeah.
That is really how the internet has been a game changer. And so from citizens across Canada, pick up a cell phone, pick up a cheap digital camera. You have a video option there. Shoot the video, find the politician you wish to confront, and put it on the internet. And that's,
yeah,
how we'll win. That's how we'll win.
On the March on Ottawa 2008 website, there's a little blurb here. It says, we asked Stefan Dion a very simple question for our listeners outside of Canada. He's the head of the Canadian Liberal Party. And can we count on you to give us a Canadian investigation into 9/11? Dion responded by telling us that after September 11th, Jean Chrétien, who was at the time the Canadian Prime Minister, visited a mosque. This bizarre non sequitur is so insulting that it's hard to comprehend how this man expects Canadians to take him seriously. And
that's right.
That's the problem. There's such a complete disconnect, as I was mentioning earlier. You have these huge percentages of people who don't believe the official story of 9/11, and yet you have elections in these so-called democracies, Western democracies,
yeah,
in which no one ever questions the premise. They talk about, they debate about who's going to make us more secure and who's going to fight terror and who's going to deal with these very difficult times, but nobody ever questions the basic premise that it's all premised on complete lies and that the assumptive,
yeah,
framework is completely erroneous. And yet the people, if you believe these polls, people would know that there's something fishy going on here and
yeah,
want some real answers to some real questions instead,
yeah,
of this little charade that these people put on for us, this little dog and pony show, which we call elections. You know, it's just so pathetic. It's,
yeah,
unbelievable. Yeah, I think we lost Matt.
I think the thing
here, remember, he said that we should be going into Pakistan.
Yeah.
So he is clueless when it comes to the war on terror and the,
yeah,
fraud that it is.
Yeah.
And in fact, not coincidentally, I met Stéphane Dion in one of my favorite dog parks, and I told him about the site, if he had ever heard of Patriots Question 9/11, and he asked me, no, he didn't, and what do they portend? And I said, well, it's a worldwide body of people who question the official story of 9/11, including former Liberal Defense Minister Paul Hellyer. And he seemed a bit stunned, and I said, well, sir, you've researched this, right? I go, how many towers fell on 9/11? He said, two. And I said, sir, you need to do your research.
Yeah.
So I'll leave you with that anecdote. And
They all know. They all know is how I see it. They know, and they live in shame, and they live in fear of saying anything. And the problem is so systemic because the corporate.
Sorry, you'll have to forgive me. So that's the signal. That's the call for truth.
Okay.
Okay.
Great day, guys.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Matthew. Good luck.
Thank you very much for this.
Yeah. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
We'll have you back afterwards.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I wonder if we might bring Mark on. The way I see it, Jim, is I see that our four parties are all, they're the puppets, and the corporate elites really own all four parties. I mean, that's why the government never decides on issues in favor of the people. Like, you know, they want genetically modified food. People don't want it. People want labeling, but the government doesn't put labeling on. Okay? They always serve the interests of the corporate elite. Big Pharma wants to sell Gardasil and give poisonous inoculations to all the young women in Canada, and the government will pay $300 million of taxpayers' money to spread this poison for this corporate Merck pharmaceutical mafia company. I mean, that's just the way it's done. Our government doesn't serve us anymore. It serves the corporate elites, and they're completely bought out.
I mean, I'm not sure that it ever did serve us, quote-unquote, at any time. I mean, I think this has been going on since, you know, pretty much forever. It always,
yeah, I never
it,
realized
it. It always serves the elites, and I mean, it's. I think it's intensified in the last 50, basically after the Second World War. I think that the rule of the corporations in terms of the political process has been solidified in Western democracies, and that really you can't ever really challenge them on any sort of basic issue that they drive the agenda. I mean, that's why I don't agree with this idea that there's necessarily there is an elite and it does manipulate things, but I don't see it as being as concentrated as other people do. I see it as more being just driven by people with money and power who want more money and power, and that's their agenda, and I think they coalesce on a variety of points and they drive the political agenda, but, you know...
They're all different levels of it.
It's very different. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't even say that... I mean, my own understanding, and I completely admit I might be completely wrong about this, but I don't even see, like, some of these politicians, I don't even see them as being shameful or as lying. I think some of them believe this. I think some of them do believe the official story.
In Osama and his reindeer.
Yeah, I think they do. Really do. I think their eyes are closed. They're like, you know, as Matthew just said, like Dion, he's the leader of the federal liberals, and you know he doesn't even know about this controversy about 9/11. I mean,
oh, he pretends he doesn't.
Well, he pretends.
He's just deceiving you, Jim.
Well, no, he pretends he doesn't. But I don't.
He knows.
No, but
he
I
knows.
Don't agree with this. I think. Well, okay. Let me ask you a question. 3 years ago, did you believe it?
No.
Yeah, you did.
But I mean, I'm very apolitical. I'm never political.
Well,
it's not my.
But I know all sorts of people who are extremely political, much more political than I am, and they believe it. And they look at you, if you bring this up, they look at you like you've got a horn in the middle of your head, you know? I mean, that's sort of the power of the official story and of the official lies and the repetition and it's the old Joseph Goebbels thing when he's, the propaganda minister in Nazi Germany. If you tell a lie often enough, people will believe it. And we see that over and over again.
Yeah.
I mean, you still see that with the first Gulf War where people believe the official story about how, you know, this was all prompted by Saddam Hussein invading Kuwait. Well, I mean, it's much, much more complex than that. Much,
yeah.
Much bigger lie than, in many ways, just as big a lie as 9/11. You know, not, different in a sense, but the same kind of thing. And it's, as I say, I think you're kind of underestimating the power of ignorance, too, or the power of people to want to believe certain things. I mean, here's this interesting thing. I gave David Ray Griffin's book, The New Pearl Harbor, to a friend of mine. And he read about two-thirds of it. And he said, to be honest, he said, I can't even contemplate this. Like, I had to put it down because he said it's just too horrific for me to
Well, keep. That is what happens.
And that's I sympathize because I sort of had the same feeling.
You it's go like, through a death, a psychological death.
It's just so gut-wrenching and heart-wrenching to believe that, could somebody actually do this to their own people? Well, that's the horror of it all.
And then
really
the government actually deceive the Canadian population, actually deceive their soldiers intentionally.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah, no.
It's just, well, holy smokes.
Yeah, it's hard.
It still overwhelms me. And I realize what danger we're all in. You know how we're chemtrailed. You wouldn't have believed how heavily we were chemtrailed 3 or 4 days last week. Then they stopped for a while. It's just the things being done are incredible. I think do we have Mark on there?
Is Mark here?
Yeah, I am here. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Hi, Mark. Have you been able to hear any of our discussions?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, as far as Dion not knowing about 9/11 or the unanswered questions, if he didn't know before, he definitely knows now. They talked to him in Winnipeg.
Oh, great.
And if you look on the Truth Bus blog, they were, I wouldn't say shouting him down, but the audience was definitely animated.
Yeah.
So
oh, great.
He knows about it now.
Yeah. That's what we need. We need people across the country to be getting out when these politicians come by.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like this joke. Do you know how to tell when a politician's lying?
When his lips are moving?
His lips are moving. That's right. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, years ago, I.F. Stone, the famous muckraking American journalist, said that I saw a documentary on him, and he said, well, my working assumption in covering politicians is to assume that they're always lying until proven otherwise. You know?
Yeah, until proven, yeah.
You know? He said, there's really no need to accept anything that they say on faith or at face value, because he said they lie all the time. He says they lie because that's the nature of the beast, you know, and they're liars until proven otherwise.
Yeah, we shouldn't have to accept, though, that they lie to us.
Well, no, we
yeah,
don't.
Yeah,
and
that's the problem.
Most people just accept it and say, what are you going to do? Well,
yeah.
The first part is not accept it.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought 9/11 is, like, the most important event in my view, because it shows it's the biggest lie of all times. And it was a lie. Well, no, at least in our era, defining lie of our era, this massive, massive lie.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow is the beginning of the march from Montreal. So the people are presenting that petition. They're collecting signatures all across Canada right now. And tomorrow they begin their march at noon from, I think it's Queen Elizabeth Park in Montreal or Queen's Park in Montreal. It's they're taking off at noon, and they're actually walking on foot to Montreal or to Ottawa over 4 days. So,
wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow! Great.
And it's in the Parliament. The petition is, and apparently they're supposed to pick it up on the 15th of September when Parliament resumes. Whether the election call is going to affect that or not,
I don't know. It will.
But that was the original intent. So
yeah.
The people are staying, who show up for this rally on Parliament Hill on the 11th, are actually staying until the 15th.
Wow.
To get this, to hear.
Well, yeah.
If it gets delayed, it gets delayed. I think we're all expecting them to, because the people are there. But they're going to be there. So, but that kicks off September 7th, and that's from Montreal. And then when they arrive in Ottawa, it will be September 11th at 11 o'clock in the morning, and they're marching from the War Museum to Parliament Hill. They're planting a tree on the grounds of the Supreme Court. They're calling it a truth tree. And all the permits are in place, everything. The road's going to be closed off. It's all legit. And then we kick off the celebration on the hill until sundown, from noon till sundown. So,
wow.
So are you, you're coming out for that, right, Christopher?
Yeah.
Excellent, yeah. We're expecting a lot of people. We've contacted the local media. We've got, most of us have shows lined up, bit shows that we're doing from like Monday on different radio stations.
Really?
Jim's having us on, yeah.
Wow.
So we're going to be on. Myself and Nathan Moulton, the Calgary 9/11 Truth, have a spot 8 o'clock in the morning of September 11th, so we'll actually be on the radio the day of.
Yeah.
I'm actually really grateful that you guys had me on so much to promote this march.
Yeah,
because,
yeah, good.
It's huge. We don't know how many people are going to be there, but the more people that know about it, the more people will come out. So.
Yeah.
And it's going to really give a feeling, I find, of empowering. Like sometimes as I've gone through this nightmare since waking up to all this criminal stuff, sometimes you're just so alone in it, and sometimes just to be with other people and you all know and you all understand, and like this is be a celebration in a way. It
gives you the courage to speak out more when you know there are other people who also share your beliefs.
Yeah.
And we're really seeing that now on a global level. The level of awareness has really gone up.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of any of the Democratic National Convention and the Republican National Convention.
Yeah.
Both got some of their live events were overtaken by protesters chanting, 9/11 was an inside job.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Two hours on MSNBC
a
few days ago. And then something else happened at the Republican convention, I think yesterday or the day before. So where, people are waving signs, it's very obvious what they're talking about, and they're overpowering the journalists who are talking about whatever,
Yeah.
So the people are getting restless.
Yeah, that's good. 7 years is very, in mysticism, like the number seven in terms of cycles, all of creation involves cycles of seven. This is a mystical teaching that we ordinarily discuss on our show here. So that's significance that here we are 7 years after September 11th. And it's like the truth movement has completed its first octave of development. Like it's come into existence and it's like becoming so established. I mean, the people, you know, the masses of people are going to wake up and they're going to, you know, go on the internet and turn off their TVs and start demanding change from our media.
I'm hoping so. I'm under the impression now that the 9/11 Truth Movement is the new face of the peace movement. And I can say that because they have way more documentation than the peace movement does.
Yeah.
And the motivation that the actual activists have, I think is you can't compare it. I don't know of any across Canada gathering proposed by, say, the anti-war movement, you know?
Yeah.
Not to downplay what they're doing, but I don't. It's almost like the old method is ineffective.
They have to embrace this. This is like the critical incident that just shows the whole sinfulness of the whole structure of what's been done. Like, we have to get at the roots of war, and we've never, I don't think humankind has never grasped that they're at the roots of war are these criminal elites who really mastermind these things and fool the public.
Well, this is also the first time ever that a war has been exposed as being based off of a lie while the war was still going on.
Yeah, and I mean, there are two separate ones. There's Afghanistan was based on one set of lies, and then Iraq was based on a whole other set. I mean, that's been proven independently of 9/11. The whole lies about the weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, and nothing's been done about it.
It's like the Americans can go around, and the masses think that they're spreading democracy and making their country safe, whereas really they've become the international terrorists. They're the rogue nation, and it's so, what a terrible mark on the history of America. You know, I hope Americans can take back their country. Like, that's the way I see it. The government does not represent the people of America anymore. And there's 10% approval of the Senate and Congress.
Yeah.
10%.
Yeah,
you know,
ridiculous.
10% of people have IQs below 100 and, or below 80.
And 10%, there's no recovering from that. It's too late. But that's good in one way, because that means that they're not being listened to.
Yeah.
You know, everything they say now, cover-ups are falling apart in a number of days instead of weeks, you know, or years, I mean. And everything's, nothing can be covered up anymore because of the net, so...
But even though they're still, we're still in a way, even though people may have suspicions, or I meet people, they say, "Oh yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, 9/11 might have been," and they don't grasp what it means. They don't grasp the implication of that and what that means about our own government and about our own police services and about the media. They don't grasp it in the horror of what the whole thing is. You know, they just, oh yeah, well maybe 9/11, well you really can't do anything about it, or it's 7 years ago, so they don't grasp what it means.
But it comes in steps and stages. You have to kind of recognize, first of all, that there's something fishy going on, and then you have to investigate it and understand it for yourself, which leads you to ask further questions. I mean, this doesn't happen sort of in one fell swoop where you suddenly have this radical, you know, reorganization of your beliefs about things. I think it's a cumulative process. But
that happens suddenly, though, to individuals sometimes.
Well, yeah, but
I think,
like it's what I was saying earlier, I think there's resistance to it. There's an emotional resistance to
huge.
A huge emotional resistance. I was just going to say, when you guys are marching to Parliament Hill, I don't know, I haven't lived in Ottawa for a long time, but isn't the National Press Building still on Wellington Street, right across?
Yes, it is.
From Parliament Hill? Why don't you guys stop there and start
chanting?
Why don't you guys do something, you know? Because CBC used to be there. I think they're still there, and the National Press Club is there on the 8th floor or the 10th floor. I mean, why don't these guys wake up and start covering this stuff, you know? Like,
well,
I mean, they're
because the they're moral cowards, and they get paid well, and
that,
they
that
like their
great,
job.
That would be great to have marchers chanting, you know, like, wake up, just start covering things. I mean, they're right there. They're just as responsible, maybe more so, than the clowns across the street in Parliament Hill, you know? Like, I mean...
Well, They're complicit in the cover-up. That's definite. That's without a doubt. And if they start talking about it now, they have to explain why they kept quiet on it for so long. The wiretapping scandal, the New York Times sat on that story for an entire year on orders of the White House or on the request of the White House. So, if a newspaper sits on a story for a year, that's ridiculous. That's not how it's supposed to be done.
Well, not in our society, not only do they sit on stories, they actually help to stage them. Mm-hmm. Like 9/11 events, the media that day was all scripted. As they all participated. Like you see it, the BBC woman who's reporting the building 7 has fallen down and it's still burning there behind her because they got their timing off. You know, like it's scripted. The Fox News helicopter ones where it seems there's very good evidence that really the images presented to the public of airplanes going into the buildings were actually concocted in the media studios and were done graphically. There's very good evidence now that's coming out about that. The media are involved in the staging of the phenomena. That they don't only report it, they help stage it. They have their scripts ahead of time.
Well, they were in place before it happened, and they did have, definitely with Jane Stanley, that's evidence of pre-scripting.
Yeah.
As far as the image graphical planes, I don't really buy into that too much because of the two reasons. One is most of that is pretty inconclusive. You can't really prove it. The other problem is how the people who promote those have reacted to other truth groups around the country.
Yeah, I understood that there were disputes and that had caused division a bit. Have you ever seen the video series called September Clues?
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
What I will say about that I found very interesting was the fact that every time somebody came out, it was always a news exec, the main people, like the very beginning.
Main witnesses were all the media people, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were all high-level media representatives who were the initial witnesses to what happened.
And there were all kinds of inconsistencies in their stories. Like one woman who was on there and saying she doesn't know what happened, but there was an explosion in Building 1. And then all of a sudden she says, oh, there's another one, another airplane.
Yeah.
Well, a moment ago she didn't know that there was a first airplane. Then all of a sudden she's saying, oh, there's another airplane. You go through the witnesses
archives,
they called, and you can see they were all scripted.
Yeah, it did look very suspicious. That's the part of the movie that I enjoyed. When it got into the hologram airplanes and different things, I didn't really
I don't remember
it.
That.
Well, I'm sorry, not hologram, graphically inserted aircraft. And I'll say the reason I don't believe that is because they did find wreckage in the building, tires, you know, they found an engine as far as I know. And then at the same time, you've got all the witnesses who actually did see the second plane come in, you know.
Oh, I'm not sure they're questioning so much necessarily that there was something that flew into the second building. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue was that it was done graphically because they had to make it appear as though it were like the hijacked airplane.
Like to Hollywood
but
it up? Or?
I think something I was looking at a picture of the hole on the side of the South Tower that supposedly an airplane had flown into and gone right into the building as though none of it protruded from the building, and you can't see an airplane in the building. There's no evidence of an airplane.
Just
and the hole's not even big enough, in my view, for an airplane to fit in, even in the towers.
Yeah,
look at them. You look at I was looking at it this morning, this picture of the South Tower, and you see the hole, and no airplane could have fit in that hole.
It's interesting, but I tend to go with more the evidence of, you know, thermate, the evidence of controlled demolition.
Oh, that's part of it.
Yeah, But it is interesting to speculate for sure. And, I mean, that's the, what's interesting about the 9/11 truth movement is that it has evolved over the last, I'd say, 4 years.
Yeah, the science of it and understanding,
it's
incredible.
You know, and now you've got Richard Gage doing all the architecture end of it, and he's coming up with things every day. Now he's analyzing that NIST report, and that's huge. I mean, he's a professional, you know.
He's analyzing what now?
The NIST report.
The NIST report, The NIST, which is an organization headed by those who have expertise in the use of thermite,
yes,
and
yeah,
who consideration of the downing of Building 7 don't consider the possibility of the use of thermite, mm-hmm. even though there's a famous scientist who has samples of the iron which prove there were thermite in it. I mean, it's a complete fraud. They're just more criminals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
criminals cover up. They not only commit a crime, but they cover up. And the NIST report is further criminal evidence of their complicity. That's what it is. Just like the 9/11 omission report, it's criminal evidence of their criminal involvement.
And it's just more evidence against them because that report delayed 5-6 years is it's going to fall flat on its face.
Yeah, it's just another more lies. You know,
well now you
cover
have to provide
more lies.
Those results.
Yeah. Cover up your first lies with more lies, and then more lies, more. And next week we get to see Stockwell Day move his lips.
Yeah, and the other thing too is I don't think they wanted to talk about Building 7 as much as they've had to.
Do you see CBC is actually airing a documentary tomorrow night on Building 7?
CBC is.
Yeah, CBC. I'm shocked. It's on. I'm trying to recall the name of their show. It plays at 7 and 10 o'clock CBC tomorrow.
I will definitely check that out.
Yeah, yeah. And they still cover up because, see, all these people, they're starting to admit there's some enigmas to it, but they still kind of try to maintain that it was like all Muslim Arab terrorists, and it never was.
They always fall back on the official story.
So they allow these enigmas about the downing of the buildings, but they don't question, like, they don't draw the whole picture of who did it. You know, it was framed on the Arabs and Muslims. They had nothing to do with it. People involved were more Jewish and Israelis than they were Muslims.
Well, it's gonna come out. It is, unless they, you know, cancel the internet, and I don't see them doing that. They're trying, but I don't see them able to. And if they do, then it'll switch to ham radios, it'll switch to DVDs, pirate bulletin board services. It'll still get out. So they can't really stop it now. And I'm just happy that I've been a part of this for a while and that things are actually moving. Now we've got the Canadian Action Party, which supports an investigation. We've got the local 9/11 Truth Group here in Ottawa. We've got the one in Calgary, Edmonton, B.C., all across Canada, Montreal, Toronto, they're all coming here on the 11th, and I can't wait. I think it's going to be fantastic. And the videos that we're producing and already to promote it have been fantastic, and once we've got the footage of the actual event, I think that's going to echo across the internet for a while.
Yeah.
Just on the topic of the media and the official stories about things, in 1977, Carl Bernstein wrote a cover story for Rolling Stone magazine, October 20th, 1977, about the CIA and the media, and explained that people don't understand to what extent the CIA uses various quote-unquote media assets.
Yeah.
How actively they use people in the media to put out official cover stories and to steer, you know, the conversations in certain directions and everything. Apparently Bernstein's working on a book currently, but if you go on Google and you just type in Carl Bernstein, CIA, and the media, you can actually see the original story is reproduced, the CIA and the media, Americans' most powerful news media work hand in glove with the Central Intelligence Agency, and why the Church Committee covered it up. The Church Committee investigated the CIA in the late 70s. Very interesting material, and if you think it was bad 30 years ago, it's a lot worse now, you know.
It's worse now that they've had consolidation. of the big chains and corporate media.
It's interesting, like you're talking about the media, you know, providing the staging of things. But if you think back just to 1970, when the New York Times had the decision to make, and this is a big decision about whether or not to publish the Pentagon Papers, which Daniel Ellsberg had, who was a Defense Department analyst, had smuggled out, and which was a secret history of the American government's involvement in the war in Vietnam, and which really, really blew the cover off all the lies around Vietnam and why the United States was there, and how they consistently, the military and the government had consistently misled people about America's involvement in Vietnam. And the New York Times published them. Now, the publisher could have gone to prison for this. You know, he could have been, Nixon wanted to, you know, put everybody in prison for treason. And yet the New York Times and the Washington Post both published excerpts from them. And, I mean, to think that they would do that in the current climate is, you know, unimaginable. There's no way in the world that any major news organization would take on the government now, like 30 years later. There's just no way.
I don't see it either.
Well, it's not the government. It's the people who control the media and who control the government. I mean,
But it is the government. I mean, you know, I mean, Cheney and Bush and the Supreme Court would put you in prison for if you did this now. I mean, you'd be labeled a terrorist and you would be put on trial. There's no question that the climate has changed dramatically, especially since 9/11. I mean, that's the whole point. It allows them to exercise more control over freedom of expression and takes away people's rights to say anything that contradicts the official story. And one of the ways is to muzzle the media. And they do a good job of it themselves. Like, they self-censor. But as you said, you know, your story about the CTV guy saying that they were ashamed. I mean, they know what's going on in the media on a variety of levels, I think, that they're not putting out the real story.
And I don't think they like it. I think someday when they can get to tell the truth, they'll feel liberated. Like, that we would have a whole new media, like a media which really told you what was going on in the world. I mean, it's hard to imagine, but that's possible.
Well, it's not possible right now when you consider the major stockholders are the same defense contractors who are making bombs, you know?
Yeah,
but I'm saying if you could enforce the laws of Canada that allows you to seize the assets of terrorists, then you would seize all the assets of all the media. They would all become owned by the country of Canada because all the assets would be seized. You would seize all the assets of the pharmaceutical mafia. You would seize all the assets of the
But then the government would own it.
Well, then the people of Canada, the wealth would be returned to Canada, pay off the national debt.
It wouldn't. You know, that's...
Well, not with the government that we have now, because they're involved in it.
Yeah, we're a long way from. I mean, I think the basic point is to get people start to question, you know, question authority, question the reality of what's being misrepresented in the mainstream media. I mean, I've gotten to the point where I can't even watch this stuff on television.
It makes me sick too.
It's just too nauseating. You know? It's like I can't handle it. So, you know, I pick and choose what I watch. I mean, I used to be quite a media junkie to a certain extent, but I just, you know, it's just so, it's like, why do I want to listen to these fairy tales? They've got nothing to do with reality, you know, and all these people playing these sad songs every night on television. It's like, I've got no interest in listening to them, and, you know, I'd rather listen to people like Mark and Matthew talk about things. You know?
People aren't turning to the media anymore for their news, so.
Yeah.
So they're fading away real fast. The newspaper subscription rates and viewership, it all reflects that they are not being used as the primary source. Now, that can change again, because I remember when 9/11 happened, everybody turned to CNN to find out what was going on.
Right.
The problem was they weren't telling you. So,
well,
I mean,
still need to turn to those news sources, because they do have the news coverage, like the footage, because they're there to help them to stage
the base,
it. So you have to watch, what are they staging now, like, you know.
but I mean, I think now if something else does happen, there are going to be the herd that turns to CNN to watch, but there's going to be so many others that turn to the Internet to find out what's going on. And if immediately they can point out, look, they're lying about this, and then these people are getting up at the beginning trying to get their story straight, and they're getting caught on everything.
Yeah.
It's just going to fall apart. That's my hope, and my hope is because of that that they won't do anything else. You know, having that fear.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping. But yes, we definitely have a lot happening next week here in Ottawa with the march. We've got a barbecue the night before that we're doing for the people who are marching in because they're camping out in Kanata.
Yeah.
We're preparing a barbecue for them. There are 3 truckloads of people coming from Toronto 9/11 Truth or Toronto We Are Change, I'm not sure which, or both maybe, but they're coming down to join us for the barbecue the night before.
Wow, good.
So we've got, it's going to be a whole week of events, really, for us, the Ottawa 9/11 Truth Group.
Yeah.
We're very busy this week, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's all worth it. And then after the big march, they're going to be on the hill till the 15th. So who knows what's going to happen in that time period. But they're staying until Parliament resumes session. And hopefully they'll pick up that petition and talk about it. It's overdue, and it's supposed to be talked about on the 15th. So.
Yeah. Which I think they're going to avoid now because they called
the
election and they can avoid it. They won't address
it won't be
that.
A surprise, but
sorry?
It won't be a surprise if they do, but we're still going to be there. So,
yeah.
Do you have a blog?
The March on Ottawa is marchonottawa2008.org.
Right.
That's where you'll find everything about the march, and they have an updated blog.
Okay.
Going on. My website is ottawa911truth.com. And we've actually posted a video. Yesterday, a video went up. One of our members produced a video for the Feel Good Foundation, the firefighters and rescue workers.
Oh, yeah.
He's created a 7-minute high-quality video montage of rescue workers talking about what happened to them. And in the end, you get to the end, and all it says is donate to the Feel Good Foundation. It has nothing to do with Ottawa 9/11 Truth. It has nothing to do with, you know, conspiracies, the towers, demolition, nothing. This is all to do with the 40,000 rescue workers who are now sick and dying.
Yeah.
And as a result, we've made this video for them. We've sent it to them, and they can do with it what they want. It's we've got a high-quality ISO, so you can download it, burn it, and the hope is that activists around the world will pick up this ISO, burn it to a DVD, go into their local precinct, go into their local fire hall,
yeah,
and show this 7-minute video to those people, and then they'll pass a hat around and send the Feel Good Foundation some money. So
yeah,
that's what we're hoping.
Yeah, it's a good.
So that was www.ottawa911truth.com.
You click our recent videos,
right,
you'll see it right there. Go full screen. He did an excellent job. It's got a soundtrack.
Good for you. That's a terrific thing to do. That's another huge story that really.
Right there. Yep. And that's 100,000 people were lied to a week later when they were told the air was safe to breathe. So,
wow.
Yeah.
You know, that makes it a lot more believable that they'd lie about everything. You know?
Yeah, it was just more criminal action. Yeah. Yeah, a whole other. Well,
yeah.
It's so astonishing. I hope these events, you know, have you ever seen pictures where they have one domino and they click one domino? Oh, it's on B for Vendetta. Have you seen that?
Yes, and everything falls apart.
And
yeah,
it's like, I hope that these 9/11 events in Ottawa, 7 years after September 11th, will be the domino that just begins to just spread. And we've got an election coming up, so it's a time where people can be getting out and asking these candidates who want your votes, like where they are on 9/11 and why aren't they speaking the truth.
The war is still a key issue for an election, so
yeah,
how they're going to avoid talking about it, I don't know, but we're going to make it as difficult as we can for them.
Yeah, well, the main media is working it up already. They got ways of... I bet you they won't be out there that day. We'll see if the CBC is out giving any coverage. I hope they are.
Well, you know what? There's going to be a couple thousand truthers in Ottawa, so no matter where they are,
they'll hide from the news. You'll go to the CBC building. I went there. Karen and I, after we were up on the hill, went to the CBC studio. We were so naive, thinking someone, like, they got to know here. We got to tell them, you know. They just completely stonewalled us, and no one would talk to us.
No, they wouldn't even let you in the building.
No.
We're going to do our best. I'm hoping for a big turnout. We have Calgary, Nathan Moulton from Calgary 9/11 Truth is flying in just to attend this event. We've got a band, two bands coming from Vancouver to play on the Hill. We've got the Truth Buses, where they've crossed Canada collecting petitions. Right now, I think they're in their past Sudbury, so I think they're going down to Toronto, Montreal.
Oh, yeah.
But then they're coming up, and tomorrow they're physically going to march from Montreal all the way to Ottawa.
Wow,
and
wow, what a good event.
After driving across Canada.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
So they're doing everything for this. They've also gotten covered by the Winnipeg Sun. They were picked up about 3 days ago. There was an article, and it was pretty fair. Like they said, a couple of things, like the so-called 9/11 truth movement, you know, like they couple little words, but
yeah.
For the most part, it was fair and balanced. They just reported what was going on, and so that was great because I saw that in the news feed, you know, the first thing in the morning, and I didn't even know they had been covered, you know.
Yeah.
So the word is getting out. So I don't know how they're going to not talk about it here in Ottawa, but
yeah.
If the media does not talk about it, that's fine. We're recording it. We're putting it online. It doesn't
matter. How are you
going
to put it online? By posting clips to the internet, like YouTube?
There's a live video feed that's going to cover the entire march. That's from the Montreal 9/11 Truth website.
A live one?
Live, yeah.
That'll cover live on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, give their website out.
I think it's Montreal911Truth.org or MS911Truth.
Yeah.
You can Google it pretty easily, and it's they've got an excellent site, and they get a lot of visits. We had one of our videos posted from there, and the spike in viewership was very impressive. So Montreal has a good following, and they're the ones who organized this march. So
yeah.
So they're doing a live webcast the 4 days starting tomorrow their march. So that's they're going up through Thurso, Montebello. They're taking like that route to come towards Ottawa.
Yeah.
And every town they go to, they're handing out discs, handing out flyers. So spreading truth.
Yeah, wow, it's that domino. Something may be coming up here, eh?
Hey, Mark, when we talked the last time, you mentioned Nathan Moulton on the previous broadcast. Who is he, and could you just say a couple of words about him?
Sure. Nathan Moulton, he's known, his nickname, I guess, is the Walmart Truther. He's the guy in Calgary who got on the Walmart intercom and started talking about 9/11 truth. He's appeared in Alex Jones's new video, Truth Rising, doing with that part in the Walmart. He's
sorry to interrupt, but that's so funny, Jim. He comes on, he says, "Attention Walmart shoppers, 9/11 was an inside job."
I'm assuming he's a former Walmart employee.
No, he said, he says in the video he just watched to see someone punch in the code when they were asking for something.
Oh, yeah.
And then he went in, punched it in, and got on there. A few months later, he went back to that Walmart and tried the same code, and once again, it still worked. They hadn't changed it. And the code was broadcast on YouTube for almost a year.
Oh, that's great.
So, it's not too tight on their security there, but, you know. But basically, it's that kind of, you know, in-your-face activism,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But he's added a touch of comedy to his thing. He also dressed up like Santa Claus and went out near Christmas on December 11th and handed out discs with a candy cane. And everybody took it because it was Santa, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And his cameraman was dressed like an elf. So.
And he had Osama and his 18 reindeer, as Chris called
them. Yeah. But we're very fortunate to have Nathan come down to Ottawa because, number one, he's only about 2021, so for him to get to from Calgary to Ottawa on his money,
wow.
You know,
yeah.
It's a big
yeah.
deal. So we're going to take care of him. We're going to make sure he gets picked up at the airport, taken care of, and he's attending this march, and he's very excited as well because he's also filming his own movie, and this will be footage in his own movie. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So everybody's making a movie now. It's great.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
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 So there's quite a bit happening, and I think the convergence of all the truth groups across Canada is also going to be really good to solidify more actions in the future in Canada. So, and it all started with Vancouver having that conference. You know, they had a conference in June of 2007 where they brought Stephen Jones to Vancouver. To do a talk,
Yeah.
And a bunch of other speakers.
Connie Fogel was there.
Yeah, there were Connie Fogel was there, correct? Yeah, Webster Tarpley was there. There was Kevin Barrett. There were a whole pile of people who actually made it out there. And I was in attendance. It was a fantastic event.
Wow.
From that, I had already started doing the Truth Actions here in Ottawa, but because of that event, I learned a lot, and I really brought that home and boosted it to the next level.
Yeah.
So now that it's all across Canada, we've got to boost it again to the higher level. So, and there's other issues, of course. There's the SPP. There's our monetary reform. There's a whole pile of issues we can cover. But we're sticking with this 9/11 until that war is over, or until the troops are out of Afghanistan. So,
the 9/11, yeah, I mean, it's so important. I mean, there's such other terrible things being done, like this chemtrailing of people is terrible that's going on through the country. I just, we have to try to have this stopped. You know, the chemtrailing and the inoculation programs, and now they've got this bill C-51 in that the government's bringing in to prevent people from buying vitamins and minerals and health supplements.
Yeah.
I mean, they're intentionally trying to sicken people.
Yeah, well, as soon as you start restricting nutrition, then you can stop nutrition.
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah,
I mean, they're irradiating the food and all this genetically modified food, which is now being shown to cause cancer, and then they hide the research on that, and they hide the research on inoculations.
It's scary.
It is, the problem is the deviousness of it is like so beyond what normal people could ever imagine.
But they're not in the shadows as much as they were, say, in 1995.
No.
Well, and historically, something Mark said earlier that really kind of made me think was that when he was talking about everybody's making a movie now, and that's the beauty of the technology we have now and the internet is like, because I was thinking like, if you look at the 9/11 truth movement versus sort of the opposition to the war in Vietnam, I was just remembering that in 1965, SDS made the first real anti-war march in Washington, and there were 20,000 people out in 1965. And the whole anti-Vietnam War movement spread through the teach-ins on university campuses in the United States. They were people were taught about the history of Americans' involvement there and about the history of Vietnam. Well, it took, about 4 or 5 years to get to 400,000 people. Chris, I think you were there in 1969 or 70 on the moratorium march on Washington.
Yeah.
But now with the internet, you could collapse that, I mean, you don't have to go to a university to a teach-in. All you have to do is turn your computer on and go on the internet. I mean, and as Mark says, you can make movies. Everybody's making a movie now. That's incredible power because that's the bright side to contrast with what we've talked about media manipulation is that there are so many alternatives now and so many ways to get the message out that's the only thing that gives me any optimism, to be perfectly honest, is that we live in much, much better times technologically in order to voice opposition to the official story. So just thought I'd point that out.
We need to think of different forms of activism and where we go from here. Like, we need to be fighting back on different fronts. Like, I think that there would be a basis for civil lawsuits in every city in Canada against their local newspapers who have deliberately deceived them about the truth of these events.
You could sue
all your newspapers. Like in Ottawa, you could, have massive civil suits against the Ottawa Citizen for the intentional deception and dummying down.
Well, I can tell you right now, somebody who works in the law, that on principle that might be a good idea, but practically, that's so not going to happen. It's unless you can find somebody who's got a lot of money, who wants to put it up. I mean, it just won't go anywhere because it's just so hard to. I mean, it's such a nebulous kind of thing. I mean, to try to document that or to make that assertion.
I think you could easily do it. Easily.
Well, but I'm saying legally.
You would just take their access,
but no, but
their
I'm telling
video.
You, I'm telling you legally, Chris, you can't. You just can't. I mean,
well, I'm not sure and I'm not sure your friend knows.
I'm not saying my friend knows. I know. I'm telling you right now that you could try it, but good luck. That's
It's not going to happen.
Well, it's like in the States, Bugliosi drew up the basis upon which any attorneys in any state could sue or could charge
all
that Bush with
up, yeah.
murder.
Mm-hmm.
And he developed the prima facie case for it.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, if you had some group of lawyers who sat together and drew it up, and you could you know, apply something like that across the country.
And where would it go in the court system?
Get it into the courts.
Where would it go in the court system? That's what I'm saying.
Exposure of their crime.
No, but where would it go in the court system? It wouldn't go anywhere in the court system.
We don't know.
No, but I'm telling you that it wouldn't, you know. Like, you know, I mean, hey, by all means, if, you know, like, I see that as being, like, so far from being practical. Like, I just don't see that as being a realistic possibility. You know, that's not the way things work, you know. It would be so difficult. Well,
isn't the way things work. I mean,
no, but
the way it works now, there's no justice in everything.
Yeah, but
these newspapers.
You're making my point for me. That's what I'm saying. Is you're saying, like, there's this omnipotent system, and then you're saying you could do this, and I'm saying, well, in the omnipotent system, that doesn't work. That's the point. Like, you know, I was trying to suggest one.
I think we need to come up. Like, I think now we have elections coming up in Canada. So we need 9/11 truthers, and We Are Change people, and other just citizens. Get out and start asking your politicians about these issues and confronting them publicly. You know, go out and attend these people's talks. And, you know, we need, you know, it's one thing for a single person to go out to an event, but maybe if you have 20, 30 people out there and support for each other, and go out and start confronting some of these politicians about all their lies and such, exposing them publicly.
Yeah, and we need people all across Canada. Every time your politician shows up at your door looking for your vote, ask them two questions. Do you support a new Canadian investigation into 9/11? And where do you stand on deep integration and the Security and Prosperity Partnership? Those are two issues. Will you stop
the chemtrailing?
Yeah, chemtrailing.
And will you stop criminal racketeering and spreading inoculation poisons through the young women of Eastern Canada? How about some of those questions? Will we ever have an RCMP that serves the Canadian people again instead of hiding the crimes of the elites? You know? Will we ever have an army that stands up for, that really defends people or are off fighting some imaginary character in Afghanistan so the elites can make more money and you know? I get that a little infuriated at times. I didn't mean to end conversation.
I'm just thinking that if you started asking those questions to any politician who came to your door, the guy'd be running down this block. he'd be long gone.
Okay, so we have to close it up here. Mark, best luck to you. I'll see you out there. I'm going to be an active participant in the day's events. And I hope you'll come back after the event and help report on it.
Oh, I think we've lost Mark.
Okay, Mark. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah.
Back in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Hope we get back to our mystical teaching soon.
Yep. Yep.
Okay, goodbye. Thanks, BBS Radio.
Yeah, thanks.
All you truth seekers out there, let's make these events domino events. Take back your nations. Come on, America. Yeah.